Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
What's going on, VCC? How y'all doing? Doing well? Thank you for joining us online, wherever you are, near or far. If you are here or new here or haven't been with us in a while, we are in the third week of the Be With Jesus season. We are leaning in on how and what it means, really, to be with Jesus. And today, I have the privilege of caboosing the Be With Jesus season. The first week, Matt, he talked about how important it is that as we abide, we're all in. And then he illustrated that with those two ladders. Some of us were like, what are you doing, Matt? Others were like, yo, take one more step, bro. Take one more. I'm playing. It was good. It was really good that the illustration was powerful. Are we all in with him or not? And then last week, he had Mark Lutz. We interviewed him, and we got practical when it comes to abiding. But this week, I want to talk about the how abiding impacts the world around us, especially when we're going through tough and difficult times. But let's get real. When we are going through tough times, y'all, abiding can be hard. Abiding can be hard. So the question that I have and I want to wrestle with today is, how do we as sons and daughters of God abide or remain in this abiding posture when things get difficult? How do we remain in this abiding posture when things get tough? Because it's in the abiding with him that not only changes us, but changes the world around us. And isn't that what we're called to do? We're saying yes, right? Okay, nod your head up and down. Okay, I'm just making sure you guys are out there. Isn't that what we're called to do? So if we're called to do that, let's lean into that and let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Yes and amen to you. Have your way in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Last weekend, Asai and I went to on a father-son ministry trip. We went to Alabama to speak at a youth conference. And while we were going, traveling there, we were just hit with delay after delay from this like snowstorm that we had last weekend. And man, who knows that it can be frustrating to go through those delays, especially in the airport, right? Whew. And so we're there at this airport and we're being delayed and we're getting notifications on the phone another hour and another hour. And it eventually we start talking with a group of people because you know how people go through tough times. They start commiserating with one another at the gate, especially in airports. And so anyways, there's in this group of people, there was one particular person by the name of Maddie who stood out. Now, Maddie, she loved Jesus. She is a Christ follower. She was so down to earth, super kind. She was probably the most personable social person that we, Asai and I, ever met. But what we later learned about with Maddie, you better answer that, somebody, maybe Jesus. My goodness. Anyway, so what happened was what we later learned is that she was stranded all day and she was done. She was done. She was understandably frustrated in the circumstances. So we sympathized with her when she would hit us with the pessimism each time the app went off. Oh, another hour, another hour. Oh, another hour. She would hit us with, oh, will they hurry up and just give us our credit already? That plane ain't coming. My goodness, they playing with us. They are laughing at us, right? That plane is not coming, you know? And, you know, and then I would hit her with like low key with, you know, sparks of faith. Like, you know what? Actually, I think it's coming. Actually, I think we'll be all right. You know what? I believe we're going to get on that plane. And to be honest with you, I was a little anxious. I was a little nervous, y'all, because I'm like, dang, man, are we going to actually make it to like the evening set? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if we're going to make it. But then I was looking at Jesus, who was with me in that time, and he was doing just fine. He was chilling. And I'm like, yeah, okay, let me go ahead and just chill. And then I felt like Jesus said, hey, why don't you go ahead and just call the gold out in Maddie and just
prophetically encourage her. I'm like, oh, okay. So I walked up to Maddie, say, hey, Maddie, when I look at you, I see a person who is shining bright for Jesus. In fact, you are attractive for him in many different ways. And I was going in and going on, and I felt like something broke with Maddie at that moment. In fact, she started tearing up and like, you know, oh my goodness, thank you so much. I don't feel like it. I'm frustrated right now, but thank you so much for saying that in me. That's amazing. And it was a simple act of kindness and or a simple act of obedience for me. But what was simple for me seemed like what she needed to hear in that moment. And it's so crazy, like clockwork, the guy gets on the announcement. It's like, hey, just to let y'all know, the plane y'all were waiting for, that we all were waiting for, is en route, and we get to get up out of here. And everybody was like, hey, party! Like, everybody was excited. Praise the Lord. You know, now, it didn't happen because I went through with communicating the heart of God with her, but it just so happened that we were able to get up out of there. What's the point of my story? What's the point, Clay? The point is that when children of God abide with Jesus, especially during difficult times, we have the potential to positively impact the world around us. For me, it was simply just leaning into opportunities to speak life, to speak faith, to prophetically encourage, to call the gold out. We all have a choice. When we go through tough times, when we go through difficult times, are we going to mimic the world or are we going to mimic Jesus? Don't get me wrong. I can mimic the world on so many layers and levels when I go through tough times. But when sons and daughters of God make it a habit to abide, make it a habit to, man, just chill and be with God. And when we look to Jesus, we can start mimicking him. Why? Because we are beholding him. We're looking to him. We're being with him. We're abiding with him. Now, a lot of y'all are probably like, you know, who, you know, abide. You know, what's abide mean? We're throwing this term abide out. Well, we get this term from John 15. And if you want to, you could turn, we'll be there. But this is red script here. Jesus' words, he says this, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he or she it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You see how many times Jesus uses the word abide? I mean, that was just a portion of the 15th chapter of John. He says this a lot. He uses this a lot. And abide is translated in the Greek, meno, which means to remain, to not depart, to continue in, to be present continually. When I read this portion of scripture and I'm like kind of in this definition of what this actual word, this abide word means, it's clear to me that Jesus wants to be present with us and for us to be present with him. There's a difference between being with somebody and being present with somebody. He wants us to be continually present with as we continually lean in to be present with him. You don't need a degree. You don't need to have a scholar degree or anything to see this. This is obvious. There's also something else I see here. There's this withness principle, a withness principle. When we go throughout our life, y'all, do we go throughout our life knowing that God is with us, is present with us? When we go throughout, you know, when we do our jobs, when we go to Kroger, we go to Aldi, when we go to the game, when we go to AMC,
When we go to school, do we know that God is present with us? You see, abiding doesn't just happen in your secret place. Abiding doesn't just happen in your prayer closet. Abiding doesn't just happen in your quote-unquote abiding time. Abiding isn't relegated to a building. It's not relegated to an event. It's not relegated to any particular thing. Abiding is what happens anywhere and everywhere you go if you allow it to. You see, you know what else I see in this? And there's a lot there in John 15. Go back in John 15 and read it. But I see that there's an abide in me and I will abide in you type of flow. You know? Meaning that there's almost kind of like a causal thing. Like, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. Like, you take steps to me. You lean into me. I am there to be with you. So I'm faithful. As long as you take time to seek me out, you will find me. Knock, the door will be open. Abide in me, and I will abide with you. And I'm not trying to make stuff up, but that's what I see as Jesus presented it. There's a story in OT. An Old Testament that I feel illustrates this abiding thing, abiding that leads to impacting the world around us very well. And it's found in Genesis 39. It's a story of Joseph. And a little bit about Joseph. So Joseph is the son of Jacob, and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph is the 11th of 12. And the thing about Joseph is that all his brothers hated this guy. Hated him because he rolled in favor. He rocked in favor. Like, everything about him was just oozing with favor. And so everything that he did was held under major scrutiny. So one day, Joseph decides to, right, wrong, or indifferent, share a dream with his brothers. And I guess the way he shared it was not right, because he was not cool, apparently, because he basically shared how brothers will be bowing down to him at one point. And so the brothers, that was it. Nah, bro, we ain't bowing down to you. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And we're like, they then started conspiring. We're going to kill this dreamer boy. We're going to kill his dream and kill him. And so they started to conspire. And eventually they're out in the wilderness. And as they're out in the wilderness, they're thinking, man, how can we do this? And here comes Joseph. Joseph comes through. Poor Joseph. He don't know what's coming. He's about to get got. And then they eventually take Joseph and they put him in a well. And then Judah pipes up. Judah says, you know what? Instead of killing the guy, instead of taking this guy's life, which we all want to do right now, but let's go ahead and just sell him to those Ishmaelite traders they just happen to be passing by. Let's sell him and good riddance, Joseph, and just tell Pops that he got by a wild animal. All right, let's go. So they sell him to the Ishmaelite traders. And the story goes, verse 39, it says this: when Joseph was taken to Egypt, that's where he went, by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer, pretty big deal dude. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Time out. May I propose to you that this was an incredibly hard time for little Joe. This guy, scholars suggest that he was about 17, 18-ish, a teenager. Imagine with me for a minute, a teenager. He pretty much got disowned by his blood. Like, Joseph is dead to his family, sold into slavery, and now he's living in an unfamiliar town, an unfamiliar Egypt,
New culture, new people, new customs, new all that. Imagine the trauma and the trust issues this guy can probably have right now. I would imagine that this guy's having a hard time. I would imagine that this guy wants to turn his back on God and be like, you know what? Forget that. I'm not serving anybody, especially not with no good attitude. I'm cutting corners. But then there's verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, if we're careful, we can miss this. We can miss this. There's something under the radar here. If the Lord is present with Joseph, this implies that Joseph was present with the Lord. Joseph chose to abide with God, even in the midst of peril, even in the midst of cray-cray, even in the midst of drama, y'all. And as the promise goes, when we abide in the vine or in Jesus, there it is, we will bear much fruit. Scripture says he succeeded in everything he did when he served in the home of this Egyptian officer. Verse 3 says this, Potiphar noticed this and realized that God, the Lord, was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. Yo, when we abide with God, it's recognizable. It's recognizable even to the people who don't know God. I mean, that's wild. But I want to say just real quick, take a time out, pause, breather for a minute, and just say that this story is not endorsing a formula to prosperity, prominence, and position. This story is not endorsed. Just because you abide doesn't mean things are gonna go well. I abide every day, and I have diabetes still. Sure, you abide. Things aren't happening. May we be a people that not only abide in the good, but abide in the bad. Abide in the good and abide in the bad. This is what this story is about. Joseph, you know what I mean? Like, this guy, he just flowed in favor. Check it out, verse 4. This pleased Potiphar. Potiphar seeing Joseph. So he made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. Okay, wow. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing. Every little thing is gonna be all right. With Joseph in the house. It was Joseph's abiding that led to positively impacting the world around him. I will propose that this stuff right here isn't happening if Joseph didn't have an abiding posture. To me, I see this as a challenge, man. Do I abide in such a way that people around me see God in and through me? Like, I was like, man, God, like, woo, this is so good. But man, I want to be like that. I want to be in such a posture that when people see me, they don't only see clay. They see the God in me and they recognize it. They recognize it, whether I'm going through the good, whether I'm going through the bad, whether I'm going through the ugly, whether I'm going through all the good, whatever. I want people to see God in me. And I pray that that conviction falls on this house as well too. As the story goes, Joseph, he's killing it. And then there's Potiphar's wife. Now, my goodness, Potiphar's wife thought Joseph was handsome. The man apparently had a body. That's what scripture says. I mean, dude was eye candy. Sorry, Matt, he got you beat, bro. Dude, my man was like, this woman, this Potiphar's wife was just coming upon like Joseph. Hey, sleep with me. Hey, sleep with me. I mean, can you imagine being in Potiphar's, your master's house, trying to do your job, and you getting hit with distraction after distraction with this woman, this potential cougar, coming on to you? You know what I mean? Like, leave the teenager alone. What you doing? Potiphar's wife? But the bottom line is that she's just coming on, and in such a way, she starts demanding him to go to bed with her. Now, I know, it's getting a little PG-13, okay? I mean, we ain't going anywhere deeper than that. So here it is. But Joseph, he stays true. Joseph, man, can you imagine? He's distracted with that temptation. Like, man, should I just go sleep with her and just shut her up? No. Here's how he responds. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held nothing back from me except you, because you're his wife. How can I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. Yo, okay. There's proof right there that Joseph is abiding. He's saying that, hey, out of everybody, I will sin against God. Why? Because God is with me. He's with me in this moment. He will see what I'm doing. Now, he knew who brought him into prominence. He knew the reason why he was doing what he is doing. So this was not ideal. And then he runs. He's like, all right, I got to get out of here. I got to run from this woman. This woman won't leave me alone, because one day the woman came and like actually grabbed his clothes. And the guy just like, I'm out, skirt, and just like run, Phoebus, run. You know, like dude was out. And Potiphar's wife looking all embarrassed with a piece of his clothing. And the next thing you know, he's like, all right, I'm going to make up a false narrative. This guy raped me. So that's what he told her husband. Didn't go well for my guy, because in verse 19, it says this, Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. All lies. So he took Joseph and threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. This is not ideal for Joe. He had every reason to say, God, you know what? I'm done. What's this getting me? I'm out here getting thrown into the wells by my brother. I'm being sold into slavery by my brothers. Man, I'm exiled in Egypt. I'm trying to stand up, you know, firm for you. I'm trying to abide with you, but man, I just keep getting in trouble for you. Where's the justice, Lord? Church, sometimes we can do everything right, and still things go wrong. Just because we're doing things by the book, just because we're abiding with the Lord, does not make it mandatory that things will go well, hunky-dory, comfy, and all that. No. There are times things will still go wrong. And what should our response be? Do we throw in the towel? Do we just start doing things our own way? No, let's stay tapped into the vine. Let's abide. It says here, but the Lord was with Joseph in prison and he showed him his faithful love. Listen, there's a principle here. There's this witness principle here. While he's in jail, things are just going great for him. He's being promoted. The warden's like, hey, God is upon you. You're doing all these amazing things. And what did the warden do? Put him in charge of the whole cell. Crazy. Again, this story is not endorsing a formula for prosperity, for prominence, for promotion. What this story is suggesting and showing, illustrating, is there's abiding happening in the good and there's abiding happening in the bad. And when you abide with God, no matter what, there will be fruit. Guess why? Because he's there. He's there. There are times, y'all, when you guys, there are times where we may feel like we're in prison. We may feel like we're you know, exiled or going through unpleasant circumstances, we may feel betrayed and feel exiled and feel like there's injustice. Let me read this verse 21 again. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. I believe that somebody here needs to hear that. You may be going through a tough time right now, and you need a reminder of his faithful love. You need a reminder that God is not only here and near, he's showering love upon us right now. Feel like there's people here who may feel like, you know what, I can't get over that betrayal. God is with you. I feel like I'm struggling with depression right now, and or I'm oppressed in this circumstance right now. You know what? God is with you. There's a withness principle that will never go away. And just as God is present with us, there's an invitation for us to be present with him. To abide, not just in the good, to abide also in the bad. And I'm not saying to be thankful for the bad. I'm saying may we be a people who abide in the bad as well as we abide in the good. Amen? It's this withness that's the secret to abiding, y'all. So Saya and I were traveling back on our way back from Birmingham. And as soon as we get to the Birmingham airport, we go through the TSA and all that. And then we hear somebody coming at us. Yo, Clay, Asaya. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I'm like, who in the world is like, who do we know? And it's Maddie, the person that we met in the airport before in Charlotte. And I'm like, what in the world? Like, okay, that's wild. And once we got through all the hey, how are you doing? What are you doing here? All that. She was like, man, you know, Clay, I'm delayed again. I'm delayed again. I missed my airplane. I was in the wrong gate at the wrong time. And by the time I realized that, you know, I just missed it. And now I'm on 13th for your flight back home. And I'm like, what in the world? Are you like a bad traveling omen right now? Like, what in the world's wrong? Like, what? You going through? Okay, that's crazy. And so anyways, you know, one thing led to another. We're talking. Eventually, I felt like the Lord say, hey, why don't you go ahead and just share some of the things that you're going to be, you know, talking about this weekend. And I'm like, all right, well, cool, cool. So I share with her. I say, hey, you know what? I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you some things that I'm working on with this message I'm prepping for. And it's about Joseph and how he abides. And, you know, he's abiding in the bad and all this and that. And she's like, oh, that's awesome. So, kind of blessed her. And then I felt like the Lord, as I was sharing, say, hey, bump it up a notch, take a risk, and tell her that she's going to be making this flight. And I'm like, whoa, Lord, 13th, bro. Okay. Okay. And then I was like, hey, I just feel like the Lord saying that you're going to make this flight. Can I pray that over you? She's like, ha, yeah, right. She showed me her phone, 13th. She was 13th. And I'm like, well, you know, I know it's crazy, but I just want to pray it over you anyway. Anyway, I prayed it over her. And then I was like, all right, Sai, let's go get some lunch. And we went get lunch, and the playoffs were on, so we watched the game. And we're out there watching the game, eating. And then when we come back, I'm thinking, man, he's not going to be anywhere to be found. She's probably going to be, you know, I don't know. I don't know if she's going to make this flight, Lord. Well, anyways, we come back to the gate, and lo and behold, Maddie's, you know, Clay, Saya, you won't believe it. She's all shaking. And I'm like looking at her like, I don't know this woman right here. Like, I don't know. Everybody's all like, what in the world's going on? She's like, Clay, Saya, I made the flight. And I'm like, what? Like, hey, you better praise God. You better praise the Lord. You know what I mean? It was such a memory stone moment. We had to capture it. And so check out the little picture right there. I was like, yo, we got to capture this memory stone moment. Yeah. It was nowhere near a Joseph level story. It was, it was nowhere near like being like, you know, the second in command in Egypt and all that. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. These are little invitations for us to abide. These are little invitations for us to remain in Jesus. Mark, last week when he was interviewed with Matt, he said something profound. He said, abiding is not just contemplation, but it's also action. And abiding is not only just action, but also contemplation. It's both contemplation and activation. So when we abide, church, here's my challenge. Here's my action. May we abide fully in such a way that we abide for our sake and abide for the sake of the world. That may look different for each and every one of you. I know you guys will be probably playing with different levels of risk and different levels of comfort and all that, but hey, listen, can we abide in such a way that we can grow in Him for our sake and bless the world for the sake of others? So my action specifically is this, to go study the book or the story of Joseph. Go study the story of Joseph. It's in Genesis 39, in the surrounding chapters. Study that. Lean into that. Lord, how can I abide in such a way that, man, for me and for the world? And as we abide, let's go ahead and lean into the framework of the stop, be still, look, listen, respond. Stop, be still, look, listen, and respond. And church, I pray that this Jesus be with Jesus season has been one where we lean into being an abiding people. Abiding people, abiding with the Lord. And may we do it in such a way where we're blessing others while we're at it. So, Lord, get them. Open their eyes to see what the possibilities could be. That not only do we abide for our sake, because that's where we need to be. But then it prompts us, it challenges us to partner with you for the sake of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, y'all. Let's go ahead and worship. I'm ready to worship. Thank you.
can't get enough. Oh, I can't walk away. No, I can't walk away. For I have seen your face, and I can't walk away. I just wanna be where you are, and I just wanna be near your heart, and there is nothing like your love, Jesus, there is nothing like your love. Oh, I just wanna be where you are, and I just wanna be near your heart, for there is nothing like your love, Jesus, there is nothing like your love. just want to be near your heart. For there is nothing like your love. Oh, there is nothing like your love. I just want to be near your heart. There is nothing like your love. There is nothing like your like honey on my lips, and your spirit's like water to my soul, and your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you.
Can we all take a seat for a second? Just take a second to abide. Focus in on what the Holy Spirit's saying, what He's doing. For some, you feel His presence and you yearn to draw closer. For others, it's a struggle. You're struggling to hear from Him, you're struggling to feel Him. You desperately want that. Wherever you are, let's take a second. Of us are going through tough times right now. And you don't want those tough times to cloudy His presence. So Holy Spirit, come. Teach me how to abide. There's some people here who I just have a strong sense that you feel far from God. If that's you, I want you to stand up for me. You feel far from God, or you don't feel like you even like, I want to lean in even more. I want you to stand up for me real quick. Holy Spirit, more. More upon these people. May there be a witness so intimate, Lord, it's palpable. In Jesus' name. Wherever they are in their journey, Lord, you know where they are. We bless them. In Jesus' name. Ministry team, can you come on up? Everybody can stand up. We're going to go ahead and close. Ministry team's going to come up. There's a ministry slide that's about to show. And on that ministry slide, there are things that are there that we feel like the Lord wants to minister to. And if it resonates with you, come on up. Say excuse me to the person next to you. There are ministry teams going to be up here and up in the balcony.
Don't forget, there's a prayer room for those of you guys who want to abide in a different place, different setting. Go ahead and take advantage of that. 7 to 7. 7 A, 7 P. Then there's the February 4th worship night. Man, what a gift it is to worship with other churches in our area, here in our house. So let's go ahead and put that on the cow. Come through. Otherwise, Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord. For those of you guys who feel far from him because you don't know him, I pray that you come through. Come see us. Don't leave here the same way you came in. I plead with you to come through, to get prayer, to get right with the Lord so you can start living life with him. Come on, live life with the Lord. So, man, I just had to add that in. Security. Holy Spirit, we thank you. You're amazing. We pray that, Father, we can continue to move from glory to glory, from breakthrough to breakthrough, from faith for faith, as we continue to abide in you, in the good and the bad. In the good and the bad. In Jesus' name, for your sake, and his people said amen. See you when I see you guys. God bless you. Love you. Come up for prayer. Come up for prayer.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.